Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, good Monday evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thanks for tuning in to Raising Expectations, your show at the core that tries to lift your expectations and bring more joy in your life each and every week and each and every day as you tune in. We're excited about our program today. You're going to see why in just a bit here as we get started. You all know we love the Lord Jesus Christ. We're born-again Christians. We know that he died on the cross for our sins, and we know he's coming again, and that gives us the root to grow our expectations, and he raises them up every single day. Hope you've had a good week so far, especially since it's only Monday. But anyway, we hope the rest of the week goes well, just like today also. It's a good start for you, and we will be sharing with you some great ideas tonight, and I can't wait to get going, so I'm going to jump right in there. I always introduce our co-host. Somebody actually sent me a text. That intro music that you play, yes, that is our co-host singing in the background. And actually, that's not true. And I didn't tell the truth. And they're all looking at me on the screen right now, wondering, what did you say? Yes, they're all singing in the background. They're real good. Ron's real good on the bump, bump part. But it comes out very good when they do that in the background. So, hey, we have a wonderful time because we're a family in Christ. And we know that you're part of a family, too. And I hope you're just off to a great start this week. So we're going to share our family again and share just for a moment. On the West Coast, we want to begin with, you know, Dr. Paul Hall, who's a retired pastor, a theologian, and he's there in Lompoc, California, just above Santa Barbara, and he's there right now, and he does a great job there where he lives in Lompoc, where the missiles take off whenever they get sent off from the missile place there. He'll tell you more about that next time. We're going to move right along for time tonight, and we're also going to look, Paul and I, to the East Coast, or the South, actually, in Dalton, Georgia, where Dr. Craig Thayer and his wife Stephanie Thayer live. Steph, as you know, is a health and wellness specialist. She's also one who is bringing great health through her website, Live Your Life Out Loud. And she helps women who are facing things in their life to get a much better grip from the Lord, who they are and how God made them, and God can help them take care of all the problems that they face. So she's there. We're doing things a little bit different tonight. We have a different engineer tonight. So we're just glad that we're here with you tonight. So anyway, you look that up, which you can see on the website. Go to our website, Raising Expectations, and that is bbsradio.com/Raising Expectations. And if you go there right off tonight, you'll be able to slide down there and see our co-host team. And right behind their names, we have every one of their websites where you can find them and read about them and see what they're doing. And if you scroll a little more, you can find some about their biographies and what they're doing in life and who they are, why they are, and what God's doing through them. So you'll be able to find that on our website, bbsradio.com/Raising Expectations. And you can find it right there. So Stephanie's website there, you'll find Live Your Life Out Loud. And her husband, she's married to a great guy. Dr. Craig Thayer is a surgeon and a great surgeon, a trauma surgeon. He's the kind that helps you when others are saying, what do we do now? And he's the one that I was so touched by when he spoke to me and said how God told him, there's your hands. And he prays and says, Lord, use my hands now to save this life, because this life is belongs to you. So he also has a new book out called Saved, and that's also on our website. You'll want to check that out on our website. Oh, you'll see that again next week on our website. Same one, bbsradio.com/raising expectations. And you'll see it right there with Craig's book saved. We have some books up there. My book is there also, Legitimate Faith. And you know about that also. It speaks about a faith that matters in the world we live in today. So we invite you to check those things out and read for yourself what's going on in the world through our staff and our co-host team. Also, we have from Texas, the great state of Texas, our favorite pastor and our brother in Christ there, Ron Greer, and his website is there also. He is with Man in the Mirror, and he's also on the same website I just gave you. Look on that the website, and you'll find all about Ron there, Man in the Mirror, and that'll be up for you to follow through with as you see that next week. So that's the team. We love the Lord. We are so thankful for each one of you. We never take for granted the fact that you tune in. We never take for granted the letters, not letters, texts and messages that we get. Sometimes the texts you send, the answers, I hope they mean something and bless your life. And if I don't hear from you, I know that you're in God's hands and He's working with you. And if you ask for prayer, I always pray for you on the spot whenever I get that text. So you can send them right there. You've got the email and everything right on our website, and I'd be glad to follow through as we all do. So our guests tonight are two very special people. We just count them as family. They're part of the Raising Expectation team and family, and they live in Southern California. And it's very, very special. Mary Ann, and in fact, I'm going to share something with you. Dr. Mary Ann and Will are known for the way they love the Lord and the way they love and help people. She is a specialist. She's probably one of the greatest specialists in the nation when it comes to understanding and working with her field of endeavor and blessing lives. And we're going to talk about that tonight in dyslexic needs that we have tonight. She's going to share with you. And I want to read something to you. I thought it was really great about her. And she posed a question that was pretty interesting. So listen real close. I'd like to share what she said. You know, we are delighted, as you know, to have her on our show. And many of you have read this in our social media. She posed a great question, and I hope many of you have been thinking about this question. She's going to address it here in just a minute. Have you ever had a dream that seems to be taking forever to come to pass? And she went on to share forever to come to pass, and maybe leading it in a different direction in your life or back to a direction. What is the dream maybe that you might have in your life? We know Dr. Mary Ann Centurn as our dyslexia specialist and an expert with a God-given dream, which she shared before, to help 300,000. Yes, and that's really easy to do the way she is. 300,000 dyslexic children to learn to read, to have their shot in life where God has placed them. And it can be accomplished only with the anointing and leadership of the Lord in her life. And she shares about this in her dyslexia material, and she'd be telling you about that tonight, and about how this dream suddenly came alive to a fuller extent in her life. And we all know the Bible teaches us that God can speak to us through dreams, through the word, through the brothers and sisters, through the church, through many ways. And sometimes He speaks to our hearts this way. She's got one to share with us. And she met a person of great influence that God brought along her path, as He brings people into your life along your path. Many of you have shared those expectations go up. She's going to share very specially about that tonight with a vision, a united vision that is in her life. Well, what she feels God wants her to do at this time. So without sharing any more at that point, but letting her get on and share, I'd like to introduce and share Dr. Mary Ann with you again, and Will. They're both going to be there together. If we could add that picture now, this would be the spot where we would bring that up. But we have a special guy tonight. There we go. There's Dr. Mary Ann on the right, and there's her husband Will, who, as she states so often, is a special part of her life. God brought the two of them together, and He empowers her by how He lives and who He is in her life each and every week. And you can hear more about that. And if we could look at the next picture, you'll see an idea and have a remembrance of the material that she does have available online. The World of Dr. Marianne, we have shared this with you before. Many of you have shared back with me. She's going to talk about a special tuition price that's much, very, very exciting. You're going to hear about this and how she can help. And I think we have one more that we will show you that you could write down as I bring her up. This is a link you're going to want to get a hold of her. And that's linktree.ee/Marianne Cintron. It's right there. You can jot that down as I take just a moment before I introduce her. And the mailing address you can reach them is also right there. 1855 East Route 66, Suite A, number 332, Glendora, California, 91741. And that's an address that you want to take down. Just take a picture of it with your phone and you've got it. And it'll pop up on your phone and you least expect it right when you need it. So, all right. Thank you, Don. And so right now, let's bring on the Cintrons. And we're so delighted to have you with us. We're going to give you the world famous. What is this, Steph?
Yeah. It's a round of applause.
Round of applause. Right. That's right. Welcome to Raising Expectations. You Hi. Are our guest. We're so glad you're here.
Bring it's so great. It's so great to be here with you guys. As Beth Allers put it, you guys are our tribe. I mean, we just love hanging out with you. Right. We're of the same mind, same spirit, and we're just all passionate to serve and be available for the Lord's work. And so it's just really fun hanging out with you all.
There we go. Yeah, it's sure good to see you. Will, it's good to see you too, brother. It's great. Marianne was telling us Will wasn't quite there yet, so we thought he was going to do this grand entrance and come through the door and everything. And I had a drum roll all set for you, but sure good to see you. And talk to us, Marianne, about what you shared and the people.
Okay. Well, I want to encourage people because our lives tend to be in constant transition. 5 years ago, I actually had a dream, and God called me. I had a dream that I was in a printing room with a friend of mine. And I heard the Lord say, you're the dyslexia expert. Now, that's really a scary word to be called an expert when we know what experts show to be false, right? But in my dream, I was told I was the dyslexia expert. And it was in a publishing room with a friend who was a missionary friend. His name is Pastor Bob Hunt. And when I reached out to him, it turned out I shared my dream with him and asked if he had any sense of what the dream could mean. Maybe he would be publishing some books. And he goes, I'm already publishing books, Marianne. I think God's speaking to you that you're going to publish some books. You're the expert and you're going to be speaking. Well, little did I know that God was going to put me on a trajectory to be trained to be a speaker. So I joined a mastermind speaking encounter for a year with RV Robinson. And she taught me how to be a speaker. And I spoke at conferences and I published three books on the topic of music and how it's compatible with the dyslexic learner. And I still had trouble calling myself the expert because I would go from school to school and share what I've learned. And I got my doctorate using music with reading. And the schools are just really difficult to get into. There's a lot of hoops to jump through, especially in California. But to get your reading program, which the Lord helped me design, into a school, it's just really difficult. So we started a nonprofit, and that's been around 6 years. And we have written grants, we've received small grants, but what we need is a big grant. But in 2016, I had a business called, it was Alpha Learning Center. And it was as an education supplemental education provider. And I talk about this at some of my webinars that are free on YouTube. I have a Dyslexia Solutions YouTube. But I talk about working in five low-income school districts. And it was amazing, but I had a vision of 300 kids. I just want to tutor 300 kids. And, you know, it was a prosperous year, and then it was a slower year, and it was a prosperous year and a slower year and a prosperous year. And the third time, because I was a small business, I didn't catch some of the nuances that were in the proposal, and they just pulled the contract from me, and I'm like, I'm done with this. So I never reached the 300 kids, but that was a dream I had way back then in 2016. So within the last year, I went to a dinner with, you know, the Band of Brothers and the women's, you know, the women, you know, the couples group. We had a dinner and someone challenged me how many, I was thinking of starting a dyslexia school. I just want to have a dyslexia school. I'll just work with 26 students. And he asked me, why are you limiting yourself to 26 students? And he said, why don't you invite God in that? And I'm like, well, I couldn't have a school without God. So in my vision, I already was including God. Yeah. He says, no, get a number and add 1,000 to it. So I could easily grab that number 300, because those of you who are in the Bible know that Gideon, God called Gideon a man of valor, great valor. And he was hiding in the threshing press at night, hiding, doing what he was doing. And God called him a mighty man of valor. And his big army was reduced to 300 to show God's hand in that. And all that came to me at that one moment. And I said, 300. First, I said 30,000. And then I said 300,000. Let's believe for 300,000. I mean, that's a huge number, right? And someone even asked me recently, I don't know if it was you, Ron, how did I get that number? And so 300,000 is the number that sticks with me. And I don't know how God's going to help us accomplish this. But then also my vision is to train tutors. So I needed a number for tutors. If 300,000 children, 20,000 tutors sounded good, because Ron's trying to train up 20,000 men to be mentors for the kids who don't have fathers. Amen. And I had a talk with the Lord and I said, well, if Ron could ask for 20,000 mentors, I could ask for 20,000 tutors. So you can do the math, how many students would go with tutors, but that's how I got my numbers. And it's just real interesting. God has blessed me with a wonderfully supportive husband. We have a couple sources of income, because being a tutoring one student, you need other things to help bring in the income to supplement his good, steady job. But you saw that picture of us with an RV. We get out once a month and we actually are renting our RV out to other people to bless them, like an Airbnb. So that's been an additional source of income. But people are just, you know, I've sold a handful of my curriculums over the year, and the Lord just inspired me to give it free. Give it free. And I went, what? I'm going to give it free. So I had somebody from Africa reach out to me, and she is president of the Dyslexia Association in Africa. And we had a Zoom conversation, and I just told her, I want to give this to you guys free. So I have 10 training videos, and then I have my digital files, and then I have the hard copy curriculum that I'll mail to people. But I'm giving her the digital files and training videos for free. She and I met once, and then because of the time zone and the weather, we had to reschedule a couple of our meetings, but I'm meeting with her again tomorrow morning and with her staff of teachers. And then I'm going to offer the support, but we're going to talk about getting people in Africa trained. And I'm like, okay, God, what happened to the United States? What happened to the Americans? Aren't we going to help our dyslexic population? But, you know, I'm just learning to put it in God's hands. If this is all going to be done in Africa, so be it. You know, Canada, India, let's just get this out. So He already had me make the app free a couple years ago, and that's CDSM. And I have people text me about that. But what I thought was real interesting was, many of the listeners might know my testimony, but God healed me of cancer 2 years ago. And one of the things the doctor wanted me to do was to get a cardio test. And I just, one thing after the next comes up, and I just didn't have time. Well, okay, now's the time. I'll go get a cardio test. And Stephanie knows I've been trying to lower my cholesterol and work on diet and everything. My cholesterol's been high. And my doctor's been wanting to put me on a statin drug for 2 years, and I just don't want a statin drug. I just don't want to be on medication for cholesterol. And anyway, so I went and saw my cardiologist a month ago, and he's like, please take a statin drug. Your cholesterol's so high. And I'm like, and I even told you, Joe, I don't want to. But, I took it for 2 days, and I had to get off of it. I just didn't like how it made me sluggish. I just didn't like the side effects. And then, and as with the cancer treatment, I had a hysterectomy and I had one chemo session and I just didn't like what it did to me. So I didn't have any more chemo sessions. Thank God for a supportive husband, And so anyway, this last week I went in from a cardio test. And the last month, so it was 1 month seeing my cardiologist and then, I had the EKG, and a week later I went in for the results, and my doctor was just astounded. He said, your arteries are clear and your heart is so strong. And I said, well, if I could ask you the age of my heart, how old would you say my heart would be? He goes, like a 30 or 40 year old. And I went, praise the Lord. So we're selling those patches too that help reverse aging. If anybody's interested in that, that's another income stream that we're praying about. But the good news is he goes, well, your cholesterol's still high. And I said, no, it's not. And I had just done my lab work for my cholesterol and it's in the normal range. It dropped from the high numbers of the bad cholesterol to the, it dropped 64 points and it put me in the healthy range and my overall cholesterol is fine. And his mouth dropped and he was just astounded. And I was so excited. So that was a good thing happening. But when I was getting my test, so everybody give God a clap because praise God, that was a victory. But when I was in the office a couple of weeks ago for the actual exam, the Lord put a man of leadership in that position. And I don't want to say too much because people can put the dots together and figure out who he is. And I don't want to set him up. But he was there just for a wellness exam and, things are good. And anyway, we started talking and I started telling him about, well, the conversation he was having with other people let me know that he was a man who was in authority. And I'm recently running for our library board, which is a city council nominated position. So I was able to talk to him about that. And so we had a connection right away. And then I was talking about the church I attend. He knows my pastor. He meets with my pastor pretty regularly. And, we were talking about what I am really called to do is help dyslexic children. And I want to help 300,000 kids. But when I started, and things come around in conversation that you don't really intend to discuss, but the Lord has a way of having us share. And I shared that after I had my hysterectomy, I had some home hospital, some healthcare. And I got a phone call to work in a home hospital setting in this school district. And his eyes lit up because that's a school district he oversees. Uh-huh. And I said, I love the job, but it ended after a year. And then I was writing a grant. And I was writing a grant when I got that job offer. So here's again, you have a full load of tutoring students. And then the cancer happened. So I had to drop my students. And then I started tutoring again, started to write a grant, and then I got a job offer. So I was in the school. And then I started writing another grant. And then I got another job offer for another school district. And then that was short-lived for weird reasons. But anyway, I just do have a love to work with kids. But he was asking me he says he knows, he's a supervisor and he knows a superintendent and he wants to connect me to the school district where I used to teach. And that's wonderful. So, one school itself, we could work with 26 students and then that could lead to other schools in that district. The other morning I was up at 2 or 3 in the morning, getting in the word and praying. And I'm like, well, gosh, if there's $500,000, we could work with 7 schools, you know, and these are prices that are, you know, good prices where I can pay tutors that come on board. So we're paying out some income. And so I emailed him, you know, I don't know what the budget is, but, you know, the counties get different monies, and I don't want to set it up to jeopardize this. And the enemy has no hand over this at all. So pray right now that this is going to happen. But I just really got a good word of encouragement from a speaker I heard over the week that when you have a vision to accomplish from the Lord and you present it to people and people aren't being obedient to listen to it, because I've had grants refused by my own school district. Mm-hmm. I've had grants refused by other locations. I just had grants refused, and because they don't want to get messed up with dyslexia. They don't want to set their kids up to be collecting data. They just don't want help for their kids. You know, it's so frustrating. But this preacher said, if people are being disobedient, God will send you to someone who will be obedient. So just keep on looking for another door. And that's what I think just happened. God sent me somebody who is in a position of authority that has a heart to help families and kids. And it's happening now, and I'm so blessed. And that's what I just really want to share with the audience, not to be discouraged. And it's not my strength. It's the Holy Spirit that empowers me. And I'll be in the administrative role and recruiting teachers now and tutors who want to help out. Mm-hmm. So you can email me if you want to work on Zoom.
There you go.
But it's, you know, all the glory goes to God.
It's still amazing to us, isn't it? What do you think, Ron, Steph, you guys, about the schools
you
are so interested in everything. Like trans, this, that, the other. I don't want to go into them all. But yet they don't care about dyslexia when there's so many people suffering from it. And it's such a, could be turned inside out and become a great thing and turn them into a powerful future in their life if they knew how to handle it. I'll never forget when you said turn the family into a place of peace and a joyful understanding dyslexic children and what that
battlefield
means.
To a playground.
Yeah, that was it.
Turn the battlefield to a playground.
It was close, huh, Steph? Not too close, but close enough. Steph, you think a lot with kids and schools and all that thing too. I mean, this is pretty miraculous if this works out this way and this person can get you to go in this. All you got to do is let them start seeing changed lives, huh?
That's right.
There's so much genius in the dyslexic community, and it's not tapped into, and it's often squashed and pushed aside. And it's really heartbreaking because, you know, I always use the analogy of left-handed. It's about 11% of people are left-handed, and they believe it's around 20% are dyslexic. So we accommodate left-handed, and actually it's just a different, there's nothing wrong with them. Actually, if you're in athletics, it's a huge advantage. But, you know, when we have a dyslexic, we say, oh no, they don't fit this. And, you know, we unfortunately are doing a teaching style that only fits one. Yes. And there are other, you know, lots of other, like I had a very wiggly child, doesn't fit in a normal school system. So you get labeled as a problem, you know, and, it's very hard to crack into the school systems. And so a lot of times it is who you know. And I was actually sharing a story today about how I ended up doing something, and I argued with God about it for about 4 years. I was like, I'm not going to do this. It's the wrong person. I don't even know how to do this. And he basically slowly put the right people in my life to help me do the pieces that I had no idea how to do. Right. And so as you were sharing that story, it's what it made me think of, because if you can get this going on one, and then the neighboring sees it, sometimes it's just getting that in, and you have to have that person that has that sphere of influence. That's how our world works, unfortunately, right?
Amen. Yes. That's right. What do you think, Ron? I think about all those guys you help, that dyslexic people, a lot of guys that could use your help.
Well, I guess what I wanted you to highlight was there's this resistance in the school system. We know that. But what's your take as to why that is? And not just the idea of dyslexic, helping dyslexic kids, but it seems to be anybody outside the normal, you know.
Well, I'll even in the private school setting, you know, I went to Christian schools, And I was told by the superintendents that once they're through the program, what are we going to do afterwards? You know, the teachers aren't trained, so they're going to have to invest in the teachers being trained. And then what do we do with them afterwards? Are we going to be working with them for the rest of their school life? You know, they're just not educated. They got to have the training. And so even the private schools are reluctant to go there, which was really an eye opener. It's not just the public schools. But I mean, I was in a public school district that, you know, they moved the special ed money around. I shared in my books, dyslexia is a trait of genius. And then, you know, prisms of brilliance, talking about let's get the inmates in prison reading so that let's get them out. Those are, if it's just because of their, they can't read, they went into crime, let's reform them, get them reading. But I shared that special ed kids will bring twice as much money to a school district than a general ed student. And so a lot of those monies are tucked away for lawsuits. You know, they reserve it for whatever, unfortunately. But maybe it's going to be used for the school pool, which is going to draw the other people to our high school because we're losing students. So the money's misappropriated, and that's real unfortunate. I actually saw that happen. And so, you know, you've got those kind of issues going on in school. And like you pointed, you guys both pointed out, they're more concerned with, you know, changing the schools around, you know, hormone blockers, you know, they're not for the families. They're not for the kids the way they should be, helping them be as successful. There's just so many arrows. You can jump in here that will be attacked with at the schools.
The prison ministry you were working with, and it was a prison, and they were, you know, they thought that her program would be great for it, and there was monies available. Well, the prison decided to use the money for a library.
The grant people decided to use the money for a library instead of intervention.
Yeah, and so here a lot of the prisoners, quite a large percentage, who can't read. And they're going to have a library for
a library.
Yeah, can we talk about the irony there?
Yeah.
So the largest population who cannot read is in prisons.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we're just going to give them some books.
Yeah, it's like 68%. 68% of the people in prison can't read.
Yeah, it is the most untapped genius population we have.
That's right. And it's interesting because I have a friend who worked for the Department of Justice back east, and he said he knew a school district that looked at the illiteracy rate of third graders to determine how many prisons to build. They forecast that a failure is going to lead to them going into crime.
Yeah.
Failure to read will lead to crime.
That's
Let's fix it all. It's my wand.
Yeah. When I was in Canyonville, we had a dyslexia teacher come, and she began to help. We had students from the Pacific Rim, and they said, well, we can't put money into this. They speak base language is Chinese or Korean or Japanese, and we're trying to mix all those in, and then some from Africa and others, and we had 11 different nations around the world, all with pretty good contingency, along with our regular American kiddos. And so it started with the ESL very quickly. And I simply said, we could teach them. They said, we can't do that with ESL. They go learn. I said, if I could teach them in 6 months ESL and have them reading proficiently to fit into an American society, what about doing the dyslexic part? And they said, okay, if you could do that. So I brought in a guy, and he started, Ron, bringing him in and putting association. All of it was association, Steph. When they saw TV commercials, we took old television commercials, and they did the commercials, and they associated with everything they heard. And then we were a little slow. Like you brought it out. We gave them some music, and they picked up some of the music. But they were speaking conversational English with an accent which I couldn't always understand. So we brought in the dyslexic person, and they began with Japanese students to try to help them. Then they were way over my head. I passed the ball on that one. But when I left, they were helping them. They brought in some people who were being trained with some of the principles you showed, and they were doing it. But to go in and say, no, we have to build a library when people, they don't even know how to read. I mean, that is really, that's not even putting the horse behind the cart. You didn't even find the horse. On that one.
Yeah, just you throw your hands up and you're like, Lord, what to please. Do? Well, let me share what the reading program is. Like you brought up, Joe, the music. So music enhances reading for dyslexic children. We all like music in the background. And I mean, and we connect with our granddaughter with music and make associations with stuff on TV with toys she has that she could touch at the same time. But when you're working with the brain of a dyslexic child, imagine a dyslexic person is reading with the wrong side of the brain, okay? Right and wrong. I mean, this is a lot of science is behind this, mm-hmm. but the left side of the brain is the language center for everyone except dyslexic children. It's not, it won't light up with an MRI, but the right side of their brain will light up with an MRI when they try to read. And I tried to get this research going with the MRIs and it was up and down like this. It was crazy. We were so close, but that didn't happen.
Yeah.
But when you send music, so the right side of the brain tries to take over the reading and it'll send over farm instead of from, or saw instead of was. It'll send the wrong words over. And it's also crossing over the central part of the brain called the corpus callosum, which will slow the processing down. So do kids with dyslexia have auditory processing? Yeah, it's slow auditory processing delays deficit. So when you send music in the left ear in a separate input, it's going to cross over to the right side of the brain and give the creative side something it enjoys doing, music. Then we have spelling exercises we send in the right ear in a separate earphone across to the left side of the brain. And I explain it like it's a Pilates of the brain. It's getting the language center trained to have those phonemes, the letters and sounds in the left side of the brain. So we have this in an app. And I talked about this, how the Lord woke my husband up, told him to create an app. And God gave me the ideas of who to connect to actually create an app. So that's the CDSM app. It plays classical music in the left ear, spelling exercise in the right ear. So we have curriculum that goes with it, but people have been very creative using the app in itself just to help their kids learn beginning sounds of words, maybe first syllables and then learn the second syllables. But to learn English language for second language learners, you can learn how we pronounce our words. But the reading program is a 9-step program. And it follows the science of reading, which is a multisensory reading approach. So it's systematic and structured and sequential and cumulative. And it's emotionally sound for people who are involved with reading. All those are buzzwords for an Orton-Gillingham model. And so we use sound circles and we use letters, plastic letters. We do reading. We work in workbooks. We do phonemic awareness activities. And every tutoring session will end with using the app, doing a spelling exercise. So that spelling exercise can be modified. Maybe they've only learned the beginning sound. Well, they're going to do the whole test with just writing the beginning sound. Maybe they've learned the beginning sound with the vowel. So they can do that for the 25 or 50 words. Every child's brain is different and children progress at different rates. So the tutor has to be very sensitive to what they're going to have the child do, what parts in the workbooks they're going to work on, and how they're going to handle the spelling exercises. It could be, I'm working with a student now who's very bright and very, and she's advancing really fast. And so that's so exciting for me to see that. And I know they're in state testing right now here in California. So she mm-hmm. got some good help, 15 hours of help right before mm-hmm. her state testing. So she's going to do much better mm-hmm. than she did last year.
Amen.
Oh, and the special price. So I've had a promotion over the last month for, it's a 60% off at $7.99. And I am impressed to continue that until June 1st. For your listening audience who want to take advantage of the training, 10 training videos and the digital files. And also I'll send the hard copies of the curriculum to their United States address for $799.
That's great. That's great. It's make a huge difference, turn a whole life around. Amen. That's great.
Amen. Amen. But again, I guess one of the things that I would like to find some way of doing is making people understand just how important a matter it is. Yes. And I think that's what we miss. You know, it's like people look and go, well, you know, there are some a handful of kids with a problem, but it's not that big of a deal.
We need to address the self-esteem, how it impacts a person's self-esteem when these kids can't read, how they start acting out, and they are bullied, but they could become bullies. Yeah. So, and we've addressed it with mental health. It actually, when I got $1,000 a couple of years ago, it was from the mental health department in a local county to address it as a mental health issue. Yeah. That we don't want these kids having low self-esteem and going into crime.
Well, I think that's one of the little elements people miss is that, and you can go to a number of, we work with a number of inner city kids back in the day, and one of the techniques for getting him out of the fighting and the confrontation was getting him involved in accomplishing little things. And the thing you discover early on is that their reading level is low. If you're in a speaking society, that an information environment, you quickly understand that you don't add up to that. So as a kid, you need something to make you feel valuable and important. Your environment around you at home doesn't do that because it's lacking. So now you're lacking in material things in the environment you're in. And then you're in a school environment where teachers and educators are there, and just their very presence, what they can do, make you feel and understand that you don't add up either, and you're not valuable. And that brings about a certain amount of frustration and anger, especially among boys. And so you go into a prison environment, you find out very quickly that a large number of the inmates in prison have reading deficiencies, they have literacy deficiencies. And you go, okay, you get to know them and track them back. They started out as little kids in school, and they had shortages here and then shortages here. And the more they lacked, the further they got behind, because they moved forward in middle school and high school, the acceleration of your decline it increases like crazy. Mm-hmm. So I have to find another way to stand out, another way to feel valuable. And in most cases, it's things that other people don't accept. Here's an example for you. So we did, we were nationwide ministry of prisons. So Mississippi probably has the highest probably incarceration rate of any state, probably first or second. Mm-hmm. There's a correlation between the number of inmates in prison in Mississippi, like in other places. And if you look at the Mississippi as a state of reading levels in Mississippi, on average, it has the highest rate of low reading levels. The average adult reads on a sixth grade level, right? So you look at that, and you look at the prison incarceration rate. And after a while, when you're traveling around the country, go from prison to prison to prison, you realize that, wait a minute, there's a connection here. If people can't read, if they can't comprehend, they have a tendency to act out or to find alternative ways of doing things. Alternative ways are usually illegal ways. Yeah. So it ends up being more crime, more incarceration, higher tax costs, higher impact on the public, all sorts of things. The other one we had was it's somewhere around 63-65% of those incarcerated anywhere in the country are likely to be on a sixth grade or lower reading level. So it doesn't matter where you go and how you look at it, it comes back to literacy rates, their ability to read. And if you take the child who's dyslexic or the child in some cases who are visual learners and then do well in sitting in a classroom behind a desk in line, you add us to the mix also. And you start to realize that it's not a simple thing. It's not just it's not just one of those sort of inconveniences. It is reading and literacy is something majorly important in our society, in human existence, period.
Well, and if
here's,
I could,
here's the last one for you, right?
You know,
if reading and literacy wasn't that big of a deal, God wouldn't have put his word in written form and created the reading thing, period. I won't go off on that tangent, but anyway, that's another one.
Well, no, I want to just share with the audience that I have interviewed Ron Greer on my Dyslexia Solutions YouTube. So he has a two-part testimony that is going to be a movie someday. It's tremendous. But you have to go to the Dyslexia Solutions and look for Ron Greer. And also Stephanie's husband, Tank, I interviewed him. And he has an amazing testimony about, you know, just how he felt as a child, not being able to read. And here he's a surgeon. Yeah. I mean, he's a neurosurgeon. And so dyslexic people have the potential to be very successful. Mm-hmm. And with Stephanie's husband, just really quickly, Stephanie's husband didn't know he was dyslexic until he saw what the son was going through. And the son was diagnosed with dyslexia, and Tank's going, oh, that's what it was.
Well, you know, you mentioned, there are people that most people recognize. I think Jennifer Aniston has been public about her dyslexia. Okay. You got the kid that played Spider-Man. There's people like Robert Benton, the few movie director. And you have, what is it?
And of course, we have Walt Disney and Winston Churchill and Spielberg and
Richard Branson.
Yes. And then you have the geniuses like the guy at Virgin Air and that entire company. And no one would believe he's dyslexic.
Einstein, they believe, was.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, it's probably 50 or 60 people that they would recognize.
Yeah.
Yes.
Brilliance there in dyslexic people.
Bring that up and you know, talk about those people that became successful. But, you know, find out what their story is and how did they overcome their dyslexia, because they probably didn't have anybody like Marianne, you know, to help them out, but they must have figured out something.
Yeah.
And then they had that drive within them that they knew that they were better than everybody was telling them they were, you know, or were not.
So, well, self-esteem. Yeah, and some of the stories that you hear, that there's usually some adult someplace that instills in them or gives them the idea that they're valuable, that they're worth something, and that sort of inspires them to actually push past all the negative emotional things there. And then every now and then you get somebody who stumbles on some person who figures out that they have a different learning style, start doing weird stuff like putting rocks in your mouth, getting you to speak more clearly.
That's right. Science behind the left and the right side of the brain was God brought that to us in the 1960s. Mm. And that's when we took prayer out of schools. And God didn't let that connection happen. And there's stuff going on now. We're not following God's rules. And there's things that he's not going to allow to happen. And but anyway, the science behind the music is Roger Sperry learned that the left and the right sides of the brain could work together in concert or independently. And he said if educators would take this information into the classroom, work with it, but they didn't know what to do. And the woman who the Lord introduced me to 20 years ago did that same thing. She played music in the left ear, spelling exercises in the right ear.
Wow. Makes a difference.
She was from Massachusetts.
I think your point's well taken too. Something that they're good at, those people who push through, like you said, Ron, they find something they can handle that gives them a feeling that they're okay. I'm okay, you're so-so. No, that was the second book. First one, I'm okay, you're okay, remember? those books. But, and like Stephanie said, teaching is, there are six key steps to teaching. We're not going to go into them, but they don't use them at all. I mean, they're not doing anything to be educators in the school district, particularly in California, if you average it out right now. Mm-hmm. It's just a sad situation where it sits right now. Mm-hmm. But Paul, you have a thought on that at all? Anything you want to roll?
I have teachers in my family and they're so frustrated. They are so frustrated. Just the things they have to deal with and how they're not enabled to deal with. We have a member of our family. I asked her resource teacher if she could be tested for dyslexia. And it was just kind of brushed aside, you know, and that was really disappointing as well, because Marianne, are the students
send her to me.
I'll assess it. Send her to me. There you go.
Are the students with dyslexia, are they mainlined into the classroom, or do they have a moment when they are with one another, or with a tutor? Well,
that's a really good question.
How does that work?
A lot of them aren't diagnosed, but okay. In special ed, 85% of the children under the eligibility of specific learning disability are dyslexic. 85% of those specific learning disability, which is a percentage in general in the special ed. But a lot of dyslexic children aren't even in there. They're just already mainstreamed into the regular classroom because they have not been diagnosed. And they're the ones taking a lot of their teachers' time. And the teachers are at their wits' ends because they don't have the time to devote to these five students. It's one in five kids. They have a whole class of 30 or some 40 if they're high school and middle school. Big classes. And they can't be given that extra attention.
And then I understand, especially in California where I live, children are not held back for any reason. They're just passed along. And when they finally get to the point where they're so frustrated, they just want to quit, you know, walk away. Mm-hmm. So it's really it's a complex issue with its fairly simple answers. If we could, if we could just practice the basics and cover those things and help these children, you know, what a difference it would make. You know?
Yep. And then math has a lot of word problems. So they're struggling with language with math.
Sure.
Education is supposed to be for the children, and that's in the children, the families are taking care of their children. We've got it all backwards, but we kind of run out of time there. Stephanie, how are you doing over there? You are our champion. It is way later in the East Coast. Excuse me, the South, Ramas.
That's okay. I have my tea, and I'm still good after. I'm an early to bed person too, so this is hard.
Could you give us a word? We could use some help too, and then we're going to talk about, give Mariana a shot too. Give a word about, we could use some help too.
Yeah, so we always appreciate you coming to hang out with us, for sharing the program on all the different platforms. Pastor Joe mentioned earlier, you can find out everything there is to find out about us. Well, maybe not everything, but most of it at bbsradio.com/raising expectations. And there at the top, we have a couple of ways that you can give. On the right-hand side, you can see how to listen live. And then as you scroll down, there are recordings of all the past shows. There's information about all the co-hosts, books, all the fun things on there. So we would love for you guys to go check that out, get plugged in, and share it with somebody. And of course, your donations are always appreciated. I always talk about, you know, foregoing a meal out or a coffee out, you know, that $5, $7, it actually all adds up. So it's a, like a little crowdfunding fun thing that you can do to help. We appreciate that.
Amen. Thank you, Steph. Marianne, give a quick word again on your, just how folks can get a hold of you too. Thank you, Steph.
Okay, thanks. I could be reached on my mobile phone at 626-664-9392. And Dyslexia Solutions is the name of my YouTube. And they could go to my website, dys-sol.com. We'll give them the website, and they could contact me from there. But here is the... did you see the little video, the extension to June 1st for 60% off?
There you go.
You put in the chat, you put into the bio, the link tree. Yes. That gives all my social media. So find me on Facebook. Right.
Yeah, find her on Facebook too. Everything's in there. But you can find the show on the platform tonight. It'll be there. And ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for tuning in. Thanks, Ron, for sharing your input again. That's great. Check out Ron on what he had to share with Marianne, too, on her podcast, which is really important. Ron does an excellent job. So, Paul, thanks for describing away up there for us. The book's coming. Don't worry. Stephanie, thanks for everything, okay? And thank you, and... it's going to be a great night, okay, guys? And
thank you. God bless you all.
Purpose and everything he does, and he's walking with you. Amen. What's he going to do in your life tomorrow? Why don't you ask him tonight? when you pray to him tonight, ask him, what are we on tap for tomorrow, Lord? Watch what he'll do in your life. Guarantee on the authority of God's word, it's got something special just for you because you count. You are gifted. You're a child of the King and he loves you and there's stuff he wants to do in your life. Give him a free hand, turn it over and watch him go. He loves you. And we do too. Thanks for tuning in tonight. God bless you and keep you. And from everybody here, thanks so much for being with us tonight. Thanks, guys.
Okay, thanks so much.
Thank you, Marianne. Good to see you.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556 or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.